Welcome back. I'm Elisa.
I'm Justine.
And we are the new and improved Murder Sisters.
Yeah, new and improved. No, we've just taken a little breaky. We'll spare you the excuses.
Yeah, it's like, whatever.
It's like, we know you're sick of hearing it, and we're doing our best.
This is a hobby for us, so we do it when we can. We know told ourselves second it stops being fun, then we're not.
And it's fun. We've had the script ready for a while, so we just need to... Now the little baby's down for a nap, so now we have a little bit of time to jump on and record this. So this is episode 56, and much like our other cases, this one is an unsolved death and disappearance, all wrapped up into one awful, tragic story. Yeah. Today's case covers the unsolved death of six-week-old Alexis Alfred Brolin III. So sad. And the disappearance of his mother, Joey Lynn Offutt. It's been a while since I wrote this and researched.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Bear with us. That was on July 5th, 2007. We always start our episodes out by like talking a little bit about the victim. A backstory. We like to focus on the victims, not the, you know, perpetrators, if there is one. Since baby Alexis was so young, there isn't a lot to talk about, except the fact that what happened is just completely mind-boggling. She'll get into that more for her part. So I'm just going to kind of set the stage up.
It's definitely weird, but I feel like out of all of the cases that we have covered that were like, I don't know what the answer is. I kind of feel like I kind of know what the answer is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just based on information.
Okay. And I don't know a lot about your part. Like, we like to do that.
But also it is just truly my opinion. It's not necessarily accurate.
Well, we like to talk about our theories a little bit, and then people can decide if they agree. For my part, I'm talking about Joey and what led to this tragedy resulting in her disappearance and supposed death. So Joey Lynn Offutt, O-F-F-U-T-T. So anyone who knows how to pronounce it. Offutt.
Say it fast.
Was born in Virginia on October 11th, 1973, and was the youngest of four daughters. Joey's parents divorced when she was just 3 years old. And although I found information on Joey's mom named Sherry Hallett, I have struggled to find any information on her dad. The divorce did have a negative impact on Joey, and she always dreamed of having a family of her own, possibly to make up for her own broken family. I think that can happen sometimes where it's like, I'm not going to get divorced. I'm going to have a, you know,
I think that happens a lot of times.
Yeah. Where it's either. Yeah. Where you're
like, I want to give my kids everything I didn't have.
Yeah. 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 Joey was described as being very naive, shy, trusting. She was very religious, or is, I mean, she's supposedly dead. I don't know. At least we'll get into that. Yes, so I'm going to switch back and forth between present and past tense. She was very religious. Her mom said she had like a childlike innocence to her, just thinking everything in the world was great type of thing.
It's always like, kind of scary.
Yeah, I feel like I can get like that sometimes.
I think maybe when you were
younger,
you're not like that anymore.
No, I'm not. Now I'm like cynical and I think everyone's out to get me.
No, you're just like, you know what the world is and like what you are.
Yeah,
you don't just always assume the good in people, but you still kind of do.
Yeah, I do. We've just had this conversation where I'm like, I need to not trust so many people. But anyway, enough about me. Getting too personal here. Joey had actually been to a psychologist some years prior to her disappearance, who said that her mental age was that of a 14-year-old. Even though Joey was a grown adult woman, that's where I'm not, where it's like, it's, you know, the maturity level, I guess. And her mental age, I don't know what that, like, intellectually, I think is more 14.
Okay. So she had like some
learning disability,
something, delays or something.
And that's the thing, is I've read and I've heard the term developmental disability, but who really knows?
And they don't say like what the cause
of that was? No, I think no, it's just, that's just who she was. That was her diagnosis later in life.
That's really interesting.
And that's it. Yeah. This diagnosis would explain why Joey had always struggled with holding on a job, maintaining long-term relationships, and then having difficulties at school. So it kind of explained a lot. And I'm sure people around her like knew there was something, but just a having that off, diagnosis. Maybe. Yeah. Joey had at one point attended Shepherd University in West Virginia, majoring in journalism. But after a year, she had dropped out after getting poor grades. So just, you know, the pattern where she wasn't able to stay consistent, or she just had, you know, struggles. She tried for whatever reason.
But also it's like when you're young, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people, that's like a normal.
That was like me too.
Yeah. I went to college way late.
Yeah, me too. Like, and I was like flaky, and you know, and then I was like, no, no, I'm
you're not flaky now.
Thank you, Elisa.
You're very dependable.
Thank you, Elisa. Wow. In fact,
you're so dependable, you're gonna be dog sitting for us.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. Put it in my calendar. So she had a lot of aspirations and wanted to attend Penn State, but she never made it there. That was like her dream, you know, and it was good that she had those aspirations.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, well, it's really sad. It's all these things that we research and write about and learn about are all really,
it's like she really wanted to be, conventionally successful, but just didn't have the tools for it or the resources or
sounds like it. And probably
maybe even the support.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, that's also very true. It is sad, Elisa. It is really. Above all else, Joey loved being a mother to her three children. She had a 9-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old daughter, and of course, the 6-week-old Alexis, who I mentioned earlier. Alexis's father and the 2-year-old child both had the same father, also named Alexis, who she had met in 2003 and was really excited about. Like, she was like, oh my gosh, I met this. Joey's mom liked him. He was educated and he was a nice guy. The two eventually moved in together, but due to issues surrounding finances and just typical relationship stuff that could, you know, make or break a relationship. Yeah. Joey moved out and moved into a house her mom had bought for her, which was about 30 minutes away from where she had lived with Alexa Sr. So her mom bought her a house and then she moved in. Yeah.
Okay.
Although
very nice of her mom.
Yeah. So it does sound like she had like
support. Yeah.
From that angle, but maybe like she didn't know how to find resources. We're back to her college dreams, resources within the college system. Yeah. You know,
and especially like if her mom didn't go to college, then it's like very unknown.
Yeah. I don't know a ton
like
about
first generation college students have to kind of navigate stuff on their own.
Yeah. That's very true. That's very true. Although they had a rocky Alexis Sr. and Joey had a rocky on and off again relationship. They were really trying to work things out with the hopes of marrying. So she like wanted to get space. Yeah. So it's not like
incompatible relationship. Yeah. It was like, they just had issues, normal relationship issues that they had a hard time navigating.
Yeah. And they needed that space maybe to just like, let's just do our own thing. And then hopefully one day we will get married and live as one big happy family together. That was their hope. So they were trying to work on things. So now I'm going to jump to the days leading up to Joey's disappearance. Mm-hmm. And then we'll pass it on to Elisa to kind of complete the picture. On July 3rd, Alexis had gone to Joey's house to get her some groceries and make sure she was okay and that baby Alexis was okay.
Okay, July 3rd.
Yeah, July 3rd.
2007, right?
Yeah, 2007. Okay. Thank you. Because she went missing July 5th. So this is just, So he went over to make sure she was okay, bring her groceries, make sure the baby's okay, you know, being a supportive,
yeah,
whatever, whatever,
being a supportive, whatever,
whatever. Joey's daughters had been staying with family so that Joey could just focus on her newborn, mm-hmm. and also getting a little rest. So mm-hmm. Joey was home alone with baby Alexis as she wanted to okay. really spend time with him and recover from her delivery. And, you know, just be a mom to her new
do the newborn thing.
While Alexis was there visiting, he had gotten upset about the fact that Joey was bathing the baby in a dirty sink.
Oh, God.
Which ended up turning into a bigger fight. Yeah. And Alexis left. Alexis wanted to give Joey her space. She often would get very offended over any kind of criticism anywhere. Like, I think all moms, if you're criticized, she's
6 weeks postpartum. Don't be crapping on her. And she has, that's her third kid. It's like,
yeah, like the other ones.
I could see if it was like a filthy sink, but I'm sure it wasn't like.
I don't feel like it would be. I don't know. I don't know how dirty we're talking, but. Yeah, pick your battles.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not really the time. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
She's trying to recover. She's doing her best.
And your hormones are all over the place.
Yeah, that's true. So I could see how that would. I'm all, yes, that's true. I know from no experience, but. But I believe you.
Well, you know the power of hormones. I mean.
Yeah, I do know the power of hormones. That's very true. That is true. I can say I know that. And, but anyway, so. She got offended by things, especially something like that with the hormones, like you said, Elisa. Mm-hmm. So Alexis knew she just needed to be left alone for the day. I think that's how she liked to process things. It's like just space. He did try calling her the next day several times, but his calls were left unanswered. And again, Alexis thought she was giving him the silent treatment after he heard her feelings commenting on her mothering skills.
So that was like the silent treatment thing was normal.
I think it was. Yeah. That's okay. Also what I gathered during research is that's how she handled things was like, she just space and no talking for a little bit. And then she would get over it and come back or whatever. But to him, that was normal. It wasn't like red
flag. It wasn't some red flag. Like,
it's like, okay, I guess she's still mad at me about that bath comment. July 3rd was the last time that Alexis saw Joey or baby Alexis alive. And I think this is a good point to pass things on to Elisa. Take it away.
I think you're right. Okay. So like Justine said, on July 3rd, 2007, Alexis and Joey got into a disagreement over the bathing of their son in the sink. Alexis left Joey's house and that was supposedly to give her some space and let her cool down. Because also, like Justine said, that was kind of the normal routine whenever Joey would get upset. I think people knew to just kind of leave her alone.
Yeah. Which I feel like it's mature. I feel like that's somewhat mature to be like, I just need space instead of like from her point. I don't know.
I mean, to a certain degree,
I guess so. But then also, that's a 14, like they said, the 14-year-old thing. That's kind of a 14-year-old thing would be like, do the silent treatment. I don't know.
Yeah. And it's like for days. And it's one thing to like,
need space
to process your emotions, like, process your feelings and come back communicating in a healthy way. But it sounds like that's, she just ignored.
Yeah. You're very right.
And then when you kind of reconvened, everyone kind of pretended like it didn't happen. Yeah,
that's exactly what I picture. Okay, all right.
And like even her mom said that same thing about Joey. Like when she got upset, you just kind of knew to leave her alone. And then she would come back to you when she was ready. Mm-hmm. So after the argument with Alexis Sr. on July 3rd, Alexis called Joey 2 times, once on the following day, so that would be 4th of July, and then once again on July 5th. And on the 4th of July, Alexis and Joey actually had plans to visit Alexis's grandmother, and they were going to watch fireworks over there and bring the baby so that everyone could meet the baby. So he was kind of hoping that by the 4th of July that Joey yeah. would have kind of gotten over, you know, the fight and kind of, you know, made up with him, I guess.
Yeah, let's just pretend
so that they could celebrate together, but that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Joey didn't answer his calls. So after not reaching her on the 4th, Alexis called Joey again, like I mentioned, on the 5th of July. And he left her yet another message, voicemail. After not hearing from her later that day, he decided to make a trip to Joey's house mm-hmm. To check on her and his son. And he went to the door and couldn't get an answer, called, couldn't get an answer. And he, at that time, did not have keys to her house. So after knocking a bunch of times and kind of waiting at the front door, he left, you know, and he didn't say any.
Okay. Sorry.
I mean, he didn't make note, though, that Joey's car was parked in her driveway.
Okay.
And that's something that's going to be kind of an ongoing mystery with this case is yeah. the car.
Yeah. Yeah. So, she was she's missing like still. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So also on July 5th, one of Joey's neighbors said that they had seen Joey pushing a stroller in the neighborhood. Hmm. And according to the neighbor, they had attempted to say hello to Joey and kind of, you know, do the courteous neighbor thing where you say, hey, how you doing?
Yeah. How's the baby? How's
yeah. The- and Joey yeah. ignored them completely and just continued what? Walking. Joey. And this was actually the last sighting of Joey.
Oh, so that was the last official?
Yes, on July 5th.
July 5th. Oh, so she was giving him the silent treatment.
Yes.
Okay.
And something well, also right. to note that I thought was very interesting when researching this is the fact that that neighbor said, although they did see Joey pushing a stroller, they did not see a baby inside the stroller.
Whoa.
So I'm not sure if there was a blanket covering the stroller.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, oftentimes when you have a newborn, you put a cover over the car seat.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't know that because of you. I don't know if that was what was going on, but I thought that was yeah. really interesting that they made that, you know,
where it's like, did you see the baby? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
It's like that. I wish they would have explained or had that information.
Yeah.
I couldn't see because there was a blanket or just like, yeah. oh, there looked like there was no baby in there.
So on July 6th, 2007, a state home health agency nurse, that's a mouthful, went out to Joey's house to do a checkup on Alexis the third. So baby Alexis. And this checkup was just to make sure that Alexis was doing well, that Joey was doing well. I think also included in this is like if the mother's breastfeeding, they'll kind of go over that with them. Oh. So it's just this nice service
that is nice.
Offered to new moms yeah. where typically like I know when I had my son, I had to bring him to the doctor.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, so it's like yeah. instead of having to like make you, you know, leave your house a couple days after your kid is born or whatever, weeks, mm-hmm. they come to you. So this health agency nurse made the trip out to Joey's house, and this was a scheduled appointment. This wasn't like a drop-in.
It's not like CPS where it's just like...
Yeah, this had been previously scheduled.
Okay, all right.
So the nurse said she knocked on the door for a while before she decided to kind of peek into the house. Mm-hmm. And she said she was able to see that the baby's car seat and diaper bag were visible inside the home. And she also noted that Joey's car was parked in the driveway.
Yep.
And another interesting fact is she said that mail had been piling up on the front porch.
Oh, wow.
And the nurse decided, okay, after, you know, she didn't know if Joey was ignoring her. She didn't know what was going on or if the baby was sleeping.
Yeah.
Or if maybe they were off on a walk. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't know, but she did leave a handwritten note for Joey. And left it at the front door. Mm-hmm. So after the visit, the home health agency nurse called Alexis Senior to let him know that she wasn't able to make contact with Joey mm-hmm. and she wasn't able to check on the baby. So it was just kind of like, hey, this is what, you know,
yeah,
this is what's going on because you're the dad. You should know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was at that point that Alexis started to really get concerned. Because up until this point, he was more irritated by the fact that Joey had been ignoring him and not letting him see his son.
But yeah, that's true.
This whole other aspect of this, like where she's ignoring the home health nurse, like that wasn't something that was
and normal. the mail piled up and just like, okay, yeah, that's true.
So Alexis Sr. at that point decided, hey, I have to call Joey's mom to see if she's spoken to Joey. And after kind of comparing stories and timelines, Alexis Sr. and Joey's mom realized that neither of them have spoken to Joey in days.
Oh.
And also concerning was the fact that Joey hadn't tried to make contact with her oldest daughter, who was staying with her mom in Virginia. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was also kind of like a red flag.
Yeah.
So on July 7th, after speaking with Joey's mom, Sherry, and also having not heard from Joey after making multiple calls and visiting her home, Alexis decides to make yet another trip to Joey's house to see if he can get her to come to the door.
I thought you'd say, called the police, but no, not yet.
Yeah. And he was he was on his way to a family reunion. Mm-hmm. So he was like, oh, I might as well kind of go off this way and check on her.
Yeah.
So at 9:30 a.m. on July 7th, 2007, Alexis stopped at Joey's house on his way to that family reunion. And he said this time Joey's car was not in the driveway. So it was gone.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Yeah. So Alexis stopped at Joey's.
Huh.
Her car was not in the driveway. He said that he checked the doors and they were all locked. And he also said there didn't seem to be any activity in the house. So he didn't hear the baby crying. He didn't hear any movement. You know, nothing was going on in the house. It seemed like no one was there. Mm-hmm. And the car was gone. So on the following day, July 8th, 2007, Alexis makes yet another stop by Joey's house. I presume on his way home from the family reunion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this time he says that Joey's car is back in the driveway.
What, Alisa? So, I didn't know any of this stuff. Whoa.
So he again tries knocking on the front door, gets no answer.
Just in that little bit of, hours.
Yeah.
Whoa. So
like I said, the car thing is very strange.
That is, that's.
And he also noted that, like, while he was at the front door trying to knock on the door, he couldn't hear any noise inside. Again, like not even the baby crying.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing, you know, usually if.
Yeah.
You know, you can hear some sort of noise.
Yeah, of course.
Especially if you're knocking and waking a baby up.
And you go there multiple times and it's like, every time it's just silent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But interestingly enough, he could hear the phone ringing inside.
Oh, that tells you.
And so while he is still in front of Joey's house, Alexis calls Joey's mom, Sherry, fills her in on the fact that he stopped by two more times since they had spoken.
Yeah.
That her car was gone and then it was back. And at that point, Sherry is extremely worried about Joey.
Joey, however, the baby, it's like the baby and Joey, like, what the hell?
But, you know, I don't know why, but even though they are worried, they're not worried enough to call authorities at that point. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they thought she'd get mad at them if she was.
And that's such a. I feel like the fact that she has a 6-week old baby trumps anything.
Yeah. Like, who cares if she gets mad?
I don't care if she's mad at me. Who cares? Forever. And she shouldn't be ignoring people when she has a newborn baby. Like,
And you know, like missing her appointments for the newborn baby. And,
So after speaking with Sherry, and Alexis Sr. waited at Joey's house for an hour, heard nothing except for the phone ringing.
Whoa. Oh, just to see.
So Alexis leaves a note a handwritten note for Joey as well. So at this point, the home health nurse has left her a note. Alexis Senior has left her a note.
There's piled up mail.
Calling her, leaving her voicemails. Like,
yeah,
you know, no one can get in contact with her.
And so, she's not mad at anyone else. It's just she got in a fight.
Yeah, it's like,
so it's like, why is she ignoring the world?
I'm sorry. Like, how many days do you need?
Yeah, right. To be like, these are definite red flags. Like,
yeah. And I don't, you know, like that to me, isolating yourself like that, especially after you have a baby, it's like, you know, postpartum depression is not something to mess with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if there is even a possibility that's going on,
yeah,
you know, you owe it to the mom and the newborn baby who can't take care of themselves.
Yeah. You're right, Elise.
You know, intervene. Kind of follow up with it.
Uh-huh.
So now we're at July 9th through July 10th of 2007.
Okay. And
both Alexis Senior and Joey's mom, Sherry, they're continuing to try to reach Joey. Obviously no success.
That's a long time.
Still, they're not concerned enough to call the police.
Wow. That's weird. I don't know. I don't want to judge, but I am judging because that is just a heck of a long time.
Yeah.
With everything, and like her not contacting her oldest daughter or her mom.
Or her other daughter, like her other child.
Yeah, her other kid that's with her other family members.
And
missing her appointment. And
not taking the home health nurse stuff. Like,
yeah.
At that point, that appointment is basically to check on the welfare of your newborn baby.
Yeah.
Like, that's not about you.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? And like, what did this nurse do to anybody? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody was that disconnected from every single person in their life and every person outside of their life for that long,
you call
that would be,
that's, yeah.
You at least do a welfare check.
Yeah.
Hey, like, can you gain entry into
her
home?
Baby.
What if something happened? What if she like started hemorrhaging?
You're right, Elisa. Like a medical thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're very
like,
right.
No.
Yeah, that's a little upsetting. And
yeah, so now we're at July 11th, 2007. This home health nurse made yet another visit out to Joey's house. Again, was not able to make contact at the front door, was not able to get in touch with Joey over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, the nurse and Alexis Senior meet at Joey's house. So the home health nurse makes a call to Alexis Senior and is like, can you, you know, they're trying to make a plan to call police to try to gain entry into the home to check on the baby.
Yeah.
So, and then something else that they noted was the fact that her car was missing again.
Oh,
so.
Whoa, that car thing is weird.
It's really weird. And I think the main motivator for getting this plan to call police into motion was this home health nurse.
She's like, this isn't good or normal. And this
is like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
So on July 12th, 2007, so he waited yet another day.
Alexis Senior
finally decides, I'm going to call Pennsylvania State Police to file a missing persons report for Joey and his baby.
Yeah.
And Alexis is told that someone will be in contact with him. Like, okay, we're going to have somebody contact you later. So later that same day, State Trooper David Ray met up with Alexis Senior to go over the details of like leading up to her disappearing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexis Senior told Trooper David Ray about the multiple visits, the phone calls, the notes that were left, the car being there, then gone.
Yeah,
there,
that's,
then gone.
And then, oh, they probably talked to the neighbor after the fact about like walking.
And then, you know, after taking down all of this information that Alexis Senior relayed to him, the trooper actually informed Alexis that there had been a house fire at Joey's early that same morning on July 12th, 2007.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
so
the twist turns.
At 4 a.m. on July 12th, 2011 or 2007, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors heard what they said was a loud explosion, and they kind of came outside and saw that Joey's home was up in flames.
Mm-hmm.
So they, of course, called 911. Firefighters came out and extinguished the flames. And they kind of, they went through the house kind of looking, because they knew, you know, like, oh, we need to check to see if people are here.
Yeah.
And initially they didn't see anything. They did know that there was supposed to be like a mom and a baby there. And they said, like, as they were going through the house, they got up to one of the bathrooms and one of the firefighters had seen something in the bathtub that they thought to be an animal. And it turned out to be the body of Joey's 6-week-old son.
Oh, gosh.
So the coroner's office could not definitively state what caused the 6-week-old child's death, but they did determine that the baby had died before the fire.
Oh, okay.
And that baby Alexis, so baby Alexis died before the fire and was placed in the bathtub and the second floor bathroom.
Interesting. So,
make of that what you will.
Okay.
So that was on July 12th. On July 15th, Joey's 1994 Red Saturn car was found at the Nittany Garden apartment complex in State College, Pennsylvania, PA.
Yeah, I think so.
That, and Joey and Alexis Sr. actually lived in that apartment complex together when they had their first child. And according to a resident, the car had been parked there at least since July 13th and possibly even on the 12th.
Okay. And the date that that the fire happened was 4 a.m. on the 12th?
Yes.
And okay. All right.
So the car had no signs of foul play. There was no blood, no sign of a struggle, no, you know, nothing kind of weird, aside from the fact that the driver's seat was a bit further back than Joey would have had it. But I don't know. That doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, I know. When people say that, it's like, sure, but you can also throw the trail off.
You have to look at the big picture. And like sometimes I will, especially if I'm like, I have to change my shoes in my car, I will put my seat all the way back and I won't adjust it until I get back in the car.
I do that sometimes too.
Yeah.
But like there are definite times when I'm like, I put my seat back.
But to her mom and her family and those close to her, that was like, oh, Joey didn't drive that car.
Yeah.
You know, so they thought of, you know, someone took Joey.
Definitely someone. Yeah.
So now we'll get into the theories. There's really only two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's three.
Okay.
So the first theory is that Joey had accidentally killed her son.
Yeah.
Waited in the home for a few days while she figured out what to do.
Yeah.
It is thought that she left with her vehicle to purchase gasoline to set the house on fire. And then went through with it once talk of contacting the police started to be mentioned.
She could like hear people outside talking about it.
Alexis and the home health nurse had this conversation.
They met up there. Okay. All right.
According to authorities, Alexis said that Joey was having trouble and possibly suffering from postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. He also mentioned that he thought that she had been taking medication for postpartum depression. However, police were not able to locate a prescription. They didn't find any medication. And according to all of their investigating, she was not taking anything.
I wonder if she told him that she was or would. And then
it's a weird piece of information.
Yeah.
But investigators did determine that an accelerant was used to start the fire and deemed it to be arson.
Okay.
So it wasn't accidental. Mm-hmm. Early reports said a gas can was found inside the residence, as well as raw hamburger meat, which was found infested with maggots on the kitchen counter.
Uh-huh.
And tests revealed the meat had been out since July 3rd or 5th.
Oh, interesting.
So that is a really weird fact.
So third, the last time she was seen was 5th.
I mean, yeah, walking with maybe a baby, maybe with not a baby.
Oh, whoa. And like, she's going to let this hamburger meat while she's in the house just like rot with maggots.
Yeah.
I guess, like, maybe if you're really
out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Additionally, Joey's purse and identification were found inside the house as well.
Okay.
So after Joey went missing, police found posts of hers on the internet group, on an internet group for single mothers that dated back to 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And in the posts, she said, Alexis. So this is also a possibility that maybe Alexis Sr. had done it. Although I don't think he did at all.
Oh, I'm like waiting to hear.
Yeah.
I,
so like
no
the
either.
Only,
my
God. Sorry. I didn't, I kind of mushed into that.
no, it's like,
so the first part up until like Joey's purse and identification were found in the burned debris, that was like her, the possibility that she did it. And she was in some sort of state that was not healthy, to the point where she was like leaving rotten meat out and buying
just
gasoline.
Living with a dead baby in her house.
Yeah. After Joey went missing, and this is the only piece that may point to Alexis being something other than a caring
husband,
boyfriend, and father.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not husband. That's right.
Were these internet posts on this single mother's message board where Joey had said that Alexis Sr. was a former drug addict, a felon, and that she had filed a protective order against him.
Okay. And that was although, 2 years prior. Yeah,
although this, again, just like the medication thing, like there's
nothing.
It was just on a message
board. Yeah. Okay. All right. Just totally a lie.
Yeah. So that's the little piece that's like, oh, maybe Alexis Sr. He was, according to Joey, a felon, a drug addict, and she had a protective order against him. Although
there was nothing that actually proved that to be true. Okay.
And then the third possibility is that somebody else did it.
Mm-hmm.
So someone in the family, especially Joey's mom, firmly believes in this third theory.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely understand why she would.
Yeah.
You know, because that's her child.
Yeah.
And so it's thought that someone unknown to the family killed the baby and then fled with Joey in her car and then abandoned the car outside
and then came back and then left again
old apartment complex that they lived at together. Like,
no.
And then after that, it's unknown where the murderer and Joey went. It doesn't make
to stick around and with the car being there, then gone, then there. It doesn't
make sense. It's like, what, why?
Yeah, why?
And like, usually when somebody covers up, say, like covers up a crime with a house fire, they're connected somehow and they're trying to, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the whole stranger thing,
because they're like, oh, like they could find evidence of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But if you're just a stranger coming in, you don't take time either to take time to do the fire.
But Joey's mom said, to support that theory, she said in 2006 that Joey had been talking to a man online who wanted her to pose as a model.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Sherry said, you know, Joey's, I love my daughter. She's no model. I mean, she said that. And I was like, oh my God, harsh.
Sherry.
And it turns out that this person was trying to get her to be in pornographic material.
Oh.
So she basically suggested that, you know, like, this is just another example of how easily she can be.
Yeah. Where it could have been somebody showing up at her door. She might let them in because she just is naive like that.
Yes. And then also to add to that, at that time, Sherry feared that Joey might be like unknowingly endangering her children's safety by talking to this man online. So Sherry and Joey obviously threw a fit and told her mom, like, I can take care of my children, like, mind your own business, basically. And Sherry suggested, hey, maybe the kids should stay with me. And it caused this big, huge blowout. And police actually were called.
Whoa. And
Joey was let out of the home in handcuffs.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay.
And so Joey was court ordered to undergo counseling before she could regain custody of her, at that time, two children. So,
okay.
I know that's like a lot of jumbled information.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how to make sense, like, where that fits in the story, but it's like information.
Yeah. So it's just,
and then what's like your,
that was kind of out of order.
No, that was good. So it's like either she or Joey did it on accident and then tried to cover it up after hearing the conversation. Alexa Sr. did it, or a stranger did it and just hung around the house for days and days and days.
Correct.
Okay.
Justine, for days and days and days.
Days and days. Like, who would do that? No. And then it's like, all right, day 10, I'm going to start the fire. That's
what no one would stick around a house for that long.
No, no way.
And then also something, so an update is that Joey's family actually had Joey declared legally deceased.
Okay.
June 27th, 2016.
Oh, wow. So that was like nine years after. So they just held hope for that long. And then there's, I'm assuming, been no trace of her whatsoever. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the motivation to declare somebody deceased is. I don't know if it might have something to do with like custody over the children. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. I'm sure there's legal things. I'm sure also it's just closure.
But you know, I think I will say this. I don't think that Joey did anything intentional.
Yeah.
And I'm almost like, I'm super hesitant to even say this, but I think there, you know, I think she was struggling more than maybe she let on.
Yeah.
That something happened, accidental.
Yeah.
She panicked, kind of secluded herself.
Yep. As she did when she would get into
situation. Yeah.
If she, kind that's what like, her MO was, to kind of just withdraw.
And maybe went into like a, what do they call that? Like a fugue state.
Oh, I don't know.
Like where, I think that's what it is.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah, it's a disassociated fugue. It's a temporary state where a person has memory loss and ends up in an unexpected place. Like,
oh yeah, and like going about her business, walking with a baby,
and
but
rotten meat, dead. And like
the rotten meat. Yeah, we're like not like, over the rotten meat thing.
Well, that one's really weird because we know she. Well, we think we know she was in the house for a few days.
Yeah.
At least maybe a week, because the fire was on the like 12th.
Yeah. And she that was
last seen on the 5th.
Her starting the fire after hearing the conversation makes total sense too. And it's like those things. I just think maybe it was Alexa Senior, but like, I don't know. Something tells me it wasn't.
Like if you look at interviews with him, he's just like, and he could be full
broken.
Just is such a, he's almost like honest to a fault.
Oh,
seems very like docile. Like,
yeah, I was thinking docile, maybe,
you know, it's like, there's no, he's not hiding anything.
Yeah.
Unless he's like really good at lying.
Yeah. Well,
and then it's like, what would be, why would he do that?
What, to his own child? That's
It just, that,
but
just,
then the part that's weird for me is, where is she? Like, where did she?
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah. And that's the part where it doesn't make sense, is where is she? Where did she go? There's been no sign of her. So to me, it almost does seem like somebody else had to do something and get rid of her.
But why would they bring her to her old apartment complex? Like,
yeah, that's true. And so are you thinking that she, what is it, completed suicide?
Yeah.
Somewhere, and they just haven't found her, which could happen, but
I mean, it happens all the time. Like you hear
yeah.
these like search things for people and they're like, oh, we searched 40 mile grid. Oh, and they were found 2 miles from where they went missing.
Yeah, you're right, like, Aaliyah.
I think that just happened with like
I was gonna say, I think I just saw that happen like 40 yeah. years ago. He went missing. Then they just found his remains.
No, this is what was an 8-year-old boy who went looking for camping for firewood and was gone. I think they couldn't find him for 2 days and he was found like a couple miles from his
Oh,
camping
wait.
site.
We got, oh, whoa. That's a different
Alive.
story. Okay. Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm like, how? And they had like all these searches and like.
And then he's like,
he's like, hey, here, guys.
And I found some wood. So you're
just
welcome.
Been chilling under this log. He was like sleeping under a log or something.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so yeah, I'm not sure. But it does seem like she, that's what I would guess too, is like the same theory as you, but the mystery is around where is she?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? And she could have just trailed off into somewhere and just,
and I can say
I don't know.
From somewhat recent, I mean, it's been almost 2 years, but the, even up until like recently, it was like almost like I had dementia.
Oh yeah.
Cause like it's so weird what like hormone imbalance can do to your brain after you have a kid. Like,
yeah.
So
And
maybe
she
just was in
alone.
like spacing out and she didn't have another person there.
Yes. That's
to,
what I'm like being
help
totally
her.
Alone on her own. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be hard.
Yeah, so it's like it wasn't that wasn't the best idea maybe to like leave her alone. It's like
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that wraps up case 56.
Yes, and I will include the Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
For her, I found some good sources and links. And then I think the next time we record is going to be
on vacation. I'm
going to
be
on
dog
vacation
sitting.
And you're going to be at our
Your
house
house.
Dog sitting.
Whoa, weird, man.
So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see. You never know with us though, so don't get too attached.
Yeah.
But we always come back. We always come back like a dog.
I like we need breaks.
Yeah, we're humans and this isn't our main thing.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you guys for sticking around and hope you continue to stick around. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.